All right, turn with us in the Word of God this morning to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And we'll start with a scripture here today. And we'll be reading several places, no doubt. And the title of my message this morning will be Christ and His Wife Up Close and Personal. Christ and His Wife Up Close and Personal. Now, there's so many scriptures we could read on this, but there's something the Lord has been putting on my heart lately, and I've been kind of touching it a little on the other messages that we've ministered on the last few weeks. And the thought here is up close and personal, and it brings Christ into a realm unlike just believing God. You know, everybody believe in God. And most everybody believe in the Bible, you know. And I know old-timers, they always wanted their Bible there somewhere around. It was, well, if they didn't use it for anything else, it was good to put the birth of the children down and all that, and the anniversaries and so on. But we've come through that age, haven't we? Amen. And we've come through the age where that when we look at God and think of God, we just don't think of Him as a spirit that's everywhere present, and it's very hard to get in touch with Him. And neither do we look at it like it's just Christ sitting on the throne in heaven somewhere. Amen. And think about it like that. But He is very near us, see, even in us. And the Word of God says concerning the foolish virgins and wise virgins of the 25th chapter of Matthew's, that the wise virgin went in, amen, and they married to Christ, see. And the others came in knocking and says, Lord, let us in also. But He said, I know you not. He didn't know them in that intimate relationship. And that's what we want to deal with a little bit this morning, the intimacy between Christ and the bride, see. Amen. And here I'm not talking so much about Jesus at this point. Amen. Now, the word Christ is, it signifies anointing, spirit. And we see Christ coming in this form in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And the Bible calls Him a mighty angel. And then it gives all the signs that relates to Christ, Jesus. Amen. But here, He comes as a spirit. And that's what I want to kind of deal with this morning. Let us begin to get more and more acquainted with Him in the Spirit, and not just someone that's in our thoughts or in our mind that exists somewhere out yonder somewhere or another. No, that's not the Christ that Paul spoke of. And I would like to say this year, and we'll be getting on a little more, no doubt, in messages forthcoming. But we see Paul, he began to refer to Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ and all, but he began to refer to Him more and more as Christ, Christ, Christ. Because Paul did not know Jesus Christ in the flesh. Amen. He only knew Him in the Spirit as the Spirit came to him on the way to Damascus as a great shining light, and it knocked him to the ground. Actually, he was blinded for about 3 days until Ananias prayed for him. But he said, Who art thou, Lord? Amen. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. So he came to him in that way. That's what he was persecuting the church for, believing in Jesus, see. Now, when we look at Christ as it relates to Israel, He were walking with them in the flesh, and He'll sit right there on that throne over there in Jerusalem. Come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the way that we're looking today. I saw on the news there someone talking about the different religions. And they said some look for, the Jews look for Him to come as a Messiah. And says, the Christian look for Him come as in a rapture. And the other look for Him, the Muslim look for someone to come, what they call that name? Eman or something, look for the Eman to come back to save them. But they said all these things, you know, people, they say people need something, I suppose, to need a religion or something to pacify them with. Well, that's not my Christ. That's not my Jesus, and that's not my God. Amen. Amen. Jesus came to Paul, and Paul spoke of Him as being in you. Christ, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And he spoke of the law, and he spoke of Jesus being the law, and it was being the seed that the law had promised, that was promised to Abraham. Amen. And he said the law was a schoolmaster until the seed should come, and when the seed should come, which is Christ, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. But you're under Christ. Now, I want to read here in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. I think this is a very, very good chapter, as along with all the rest. But there's a few words in here that I want to get that will propel us on in our thoughts today. Amen. But let's pray before reading here. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we now have Your Word open before us, Lord, about to read the sacred words that's pinned down in this book. And, Lord, they're so sacred that no one could look at them at one time. No one could even open the seals or look at them or read them, but now You've made it available to us. Lord, and we thank You. And, Lord, I pray that You'll give us the anointing to speak from Your Word that Thou has ordained. And we'll be careful to praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin reading. I believe in the 10th chapter of Romans here, we could begin reading in verse 1. Paul speaking there about the Jews and how this came. But I want to show you the point I want to get is he said he's very near, even in your mouth and in your heart. Paul says here, beginning verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, I want to show you the zeal for God does not necessarily give you a way to God, see. Amen. If it's not Holy Ghost inspired, see, Israel, they were the one that was committed. Under them were committed the articles of God. The keep God, the knowledge of God alive by the law and all the way through. And they had a knowledge of it and they had it so well written in word form. And they knew it and they tried to go by it, but they were far from God. Jesus spoke to him. He said, you honor me with your words, but your heart is far from me, see. Amen. Now, when Jesus came, he brought a new and living way, the Bible said. And they could not see it, and they could not enter in, because they said the old is better. We get that in Hebrews. God made a new covenant. He'll place laws in your heart and in your mind. But Psalm says, the old is better. Amen. And that's the same thought today. But this is not my thought here. I want to go on reading here. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now that is a sermon in itself. They were ignorant of what righteousness was. What was God's righteousness? It weren't a matter of do's and don'ts, see. It weren't a matter if you do this or if you don't do that, that you'll be righteous. No, but it's by faith. Now, when we begin to talk about this by faith, it's a little harder than some want to admit. To admit that you're righteous by faith and not by any good thing that we do or don't do. Amen. The only good thing you do is what Christ in you lives out through you and do. And all those things you do is not to become more righteous, but because you love Him, want to please Him, and want Him, and just want to yield yourself to Him and Him live His life through you, see. So, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, see, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's the church world today. That's religion. And many of the religions today, they got their rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. And it's what the church says, that's what's righteousness. That's their righteousness. Or what the church don't say. Amen, but your righteousness has to be in what Christ did at Calvary. Hallelujah. How many believe it? Him taking your sins and giving you the gift of righteousness. Now, the Jews could not accept this, and it has not been accepted by the Gentile world. And especially you that have come through the orders of Pentecost, as we have, the Pentecostal teaching, and it was the do's and don'ts. You couldn't drink Cokes. You couldn't take an aspirin, and you couldn't do many of these things, and it had to do with your righteousness. See, if you did this or didn't do that, you could be righteous. But that has nothing to do with righteousness at all. And it became what you eat and what you drink, and sometimes you'll watch a TV preacher and they'll do that today. And I brought this in the other week, I believe it was in West Virginia, that the righteousness that people are looking for, they think that God's put a curse, and if they do this or do that, they'll get the curse off of them. You know, there's certain scriptures when Israel was under the natural law, he went in the land and he gave some things that they'd be cursed or be blessed, and do, and it all rested up on one thing, what they did or didn't do. Amen. And who they were, see. And if they were Israelite in the under the covenant and they were circumcised, then they could come under that law of righteousness, see. Amen. But then there's a righteousness that just comes just because God gives it to you. Now, I know I brought this in. Moses went married an Ethiopian woman, see. And they, Miriam, she really had a fit about that. Amen. She, I don't know, Bible don't say all that her and Aaron said about it, but they muttered against Moses. Well, God didn't like it. Amen. So God smote Miriam with leprosy, and she had to stay outside the tent, outside the camp for 7 days. Amen. But the point, here's what they don't see. When Moses married the Ethiopian woman, they go back from the Ham and try to bring it through and got a curse upon them. See? And they try to put a natural curse, you know, saying who's cursed and who ain't cursed and who's blessed and who's righteous and who ain't right. But when Moses married that Ethiopian woman, amen, all curses, if there were any. And I'm not sure there was. But the Miriam and the Israelites, some of them couldn't see. Even Moses' own brother complained. Amen. And it was all because of who he married. They thought this woman's of a lineage of people that's cursed. Amen. But they don't see that when the wedding takes place, there's no more curse. Amen. Now that has to do with this day and hour we're living in. Hallelujah. When he takes his wife, hallelujah, he gives her that robe of righteousness, and it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, and the Bible clearly tells us which is the righteousness of God. Amen. So there's no curses. Somebody say, you know, I've had people through Pentecostal time wanting to put oil on this and oil on that and take curses away and so forth like that. Well, it was just ignorant on their part, see. But the thing is, there is an oil that does take away curses. It's the Holy Ghost oil. And that's all we need. Praise the Lord. But that's where the Jews, they missed. It was just too simple for them. See, and that's why it is today. Many times it's too simple, and some think we need to do this and we need to do that to be righteous. And I know a lot of churches that we need to sell donuts, we need to do this, we need to knock on doors, and we need to do all these things to work a little bit for our salvation. Well, when you do that, you are, whether you want to or not, and whether the intention is that, and it's usually not, if you try to work for it, that is denying His righteousness. See, it puts it in a category of what you do and don't do. In this very chapter here, Moses told them what that was. All right, let me go on with this. I want to get verse 4 here. It says, for Christ is... Now, I want you to notice the word Christ. Now, if you haven't noticed, Paul's writing, the only one of the writers that all along, Christ, 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 Christ. The others referred to the Lord Jesus Christ, sure. But Paul, he kept using that word Christ because it's all in the Spirit, say. Praise God. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In other words, there's nothing whatsoever about the law, do's and don'ts, that has anything to do with righteousness. It's all in Christ, and He's the end of the law for. Notice that word, for righteousness. To everyone that believeth. Amen. Now, let's take that and settle on it. Amen. I've preached it for many years, and it's still hard for people to realize it. It's still hard for people to realize that your righteousness comes from Christ and nothing you can do to improve upon it, because the gift of righteousness is perfect when He gives it to you, and all that you do is because you love Him, you appreciate Him, and you adore Him. It's like the wife that's madly in love with her husband, won't fix him a nice cake or a nice meal, the type meal that that you could only dream about. I remember one time, just after me and Barbara got married, she said, I'm going to fix you a meal that most men would only dream about having. Well, that's when you're in love with Christ, you're up close, you're personal. Amen. You say, Jesus, I love you. Amen. You say, Christ, I thank you for coming into me, living in me, and letting me live in you. Now, there's a point that I want to dwell on somewhat. Paul said, by one Spirit, you're all baptized into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So, He's in us. We're in Him. Now, that is up close and personal. Now, we talk about God, praying to God, and Jesus instructs on that so when He goes to the Father, how to do it, you know. He come to Him and He'll take care of it for you. Your peace and all that. Amen. But we begin to look at this here. Moses said to the Jews when he wrote the law back there, I want to read verse 5 here. Paul referring back, show that you can't be justified. He said, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. Now watch how he said, the man which doeth these things shall live by them. In other words, whatever you take the law, and Paul said, if you're justified by the law, he said, you're fallen from grace. And Moses said, if you want to take the law and live by it, amen, he says, you're going to try to be just, then you got to do all these things. to offend in one point, you know what he said? He said you're guilty of law. Amen. So when you look at the law and Christ, when you begin to try to come to Christ through the law, then there is no way. Because the law was made until the seed should come. The promise was made to the seed. And when Jesus Christ came, He was the only human being that ever kept the law to the point where God was well pleased in Him. Hallelujah. And He took the curse off of it, going to the cross. This is in the book of Galatians. Went to the cross, nailing to the cross, because the Word says, curses everyone that hangeth on the cross. And Jesus went to the cross and took the curse off for us. See? And that is very important to understand, because what you're required to do in this hour is something that's difficult to do. Amen. And the reason it's difficult, it ain't so much to what you do, see? Amen. It all come by faith in what Christ has done and is doing. Amen. And by faith to know that you're in Him. You become married to Him by the Word. Hallelujah. And you're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Amen. And you've gone in with Him. Up close and personal. And when you do that, He takes you, and I'm not going to get on this as a sermon, but He takes you to a land beyond time. Oh, glory to God. And I want to deal with that soon. Amen. Remember that the mighty angel Christ, when He come down, He raised His hand to heaven and says, time is no more. Hallelujah. Time for that religious church age where we entire grow together. And He takes His bride through marriage into a land where time and conditions of the past has no ties on us whatsoever. He set us free. Then you can sing that song, He set me free. Amen. Feels good to be free, doesn't it? It feels good to know, amen, that He has made us as righteous as He by taking us, marrying us. He took all curses off of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you can go in Genesis there and the Old Testament there. You could get certain curses. And people still bring them up, but the bride is going to be liberated from them. Because when Christ takes that bride and marries her, amen, all curses are lifted. Amen. Therefore, healing is a sure thing, bought and paid for. Amen. By Christ at Calvary. Hallelujah. And we can base our faith upon that. And when we do, we'll find our faith is growing. Amen. It says, add to your faith. And as you read about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, amen, there's one of them. There's nine of each. But one of them is the same both places. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, faith, and so on. Amen. And then when you get over to the nine gifts of the Spirit, which is a separate category, amen, one of those are faith. Hallelujah. So it puts special emphasis upon faith. Amen. Now, gift of faith, it just comes upon you. Amen. And there's people that's born into the kingdom of God with a special ability to have faith. Amen. God give them ability. But then there's the fruit of faith. Amen. These fruits grow in you. Amen. As Paul said, add to your faith. Glory to God. And he says one place, and said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that's not necessarily a gift. That's the fruit of faith growing in you. Amen. Well, you might not claim to have that specific gift because those nine gifts, it's in the body, but every person don't have it. But when it comes to the fruit of faith, every person, hallelujah, can have that fruit of faith. Glory to God, and let it grow in you as you read the Word of God. I'm going to show you how faith comes just in a little bit here if we get down to it here. Amen. All right. I forgot to look what time I started, but that's all right. I'm sure you'll let me know. Amen. All right. So Moses said, if you do them things, then you, if this is the way you want to go about getting righteousness, then the man that do them shall live by them. In other words, and then I believe James, if he offend the small place, but I don't want to cover that. Verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. It's not, in other words, we don't reason, we believe. Amen. The righteousness which is by faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your hearts, who shall ascend up to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Now I want you to notice even using the word Christ again. And if you haven't noticed in Paul's writing, just take special note of that. Paul speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks of the God the Father. But when he began to bring it more personally to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's Christ. And he says, you figure this out. Lord, I'd like to believe, but who's gonna bring you down? How are you going to get here? You begin to reason, and faith goes out the window when you reason. You cannot reason faith, you believe faith. That's where trouble came in the garden. Amen. Eve listened to the serpent and began to reason. Hallelujah. Reason, you can't have reason and faith in this category at the same time. Amen. The reason is, amen, when you begin to reason out, Paul said, don't reason, but believe. Faith is on this wise. You don't say, hey, I believe this, but tell me who's going to bring him down here. Amen, he's here. How many know that? He came in the form of the Holy Ghost down on day of Pentecost. But then watch the next one. He gives what Paul's doing, giving some examples of how we reason. It says, verse 7 says, as some would say, or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Amen. Amen. Who's going to do all this? Who's going to do all these things? But he tells us here, verse 8 here, it says, but what saith the Word? But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. Now I want you to notice here what Paul's saying here. The reason has to go. See? Amen. The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth. And how many knows what the word? Christ is that word, see? Amen. It's nigh thee even in thy mouth and in your heart. Amen. So it does away with reason. How's this going to come about? Sometimes we'll ask ourselves, how's a new body going to come about? Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, it's going to come. Amen. As the Word of God's preached and ministered, and your faith groweth exceedingly. Amen. And you stop looking to anything that you do or don't do. Now, my mama was a good woman. As in the realm of the human goodness, she was exceptional, I think. But when she get prayed for something or another, she might say something like this, well, I know the Lord's a healer, but I'm just not good enough. Well, that's the thing that we got to guard against, see? Amen, because we begin to put what we do or don't do and connect it with our healing. Amen, he said it's by faith. Amen, how many knows that? The woman at the well there, or the woman that had the child, we'll go to her. The woman that had the child that was vexed and very ill that came to Jesus. Jesus didn't ask her, have you been good? He's not like this Santa Claus theory they got, which sprang from paganism and brought on down through. But have you been good? If you've been good, you get a gift. If you've been bad, you don't get one. Well, amen, that's about the way denomination does. Hallelujah. That's kind of the way the law was, wasn't it? Amen, but I'm telling you, when you come to Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and He's in you. You're in Him. You're married to Him. All curses is gone. And He gives you His very own righteousness. Take you into the tent. Amen. In with Him. The door shut. And you become bone of His bone. Flesh of His flesh. And no longer is He someone you speak to as someone in a distance. Hallelujah. But He's up close and personal. Glory to God. And that's what God's doing today. He's producing the people that He's up close and personal with. Paul said, it's in your heart. The word's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Amen. You're in Him. He's in you. Amen. And then he goes on here and says, the word of faith, see? The word, he says, and in your heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Now watch. Which we preach. Now you've got to begin to realize that Paul wasn't just an ordinary apostle. Amen. There was 12 of those to the Jews, and they did their part and they did it good. And I praise God for it. And the outstanding one among them was Peter, as it's related in Galatians 2. Peter had the gospel for the circumcision, while Paul had the gospel for the uncircumcision. So those were the two that guided their line of truth, and Paul had a line of truth, and it wasn't the Jewish line of truth. It went to the Gentiles, because God told him, I'll send you to a faraway people, and they will hear. Act. And when he struck Paul down on the way to Damascus, later Paul telling the story of what was said, amen, he said, I'll make thee a light to the Gentile, delivering them from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. Amen. Now we can begin to get in a category. Hallelujah. As the other week's message was, we get the little book out of the big book, see. It's resurrected right out of that and brought to us. There's 14 books that Paul brought. Hallelujah. And it tells us about this righteousness of God. What it does, it's unlike the Bible. The Bible lets us know there's God. The Bible lets us know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible lets us know all these things. Amen. But when you get down to that little book, hallelujah, Paul said, it's in your heart and in your mind, the word of faith that we preach to you, say. Hallelujah. Amen. It puts it up close and personal. Now, when you take out of the word the books that Paul wrote, you're not talking about a big book with 66 books, other books in it. Amen. And every bit of it is the Word of God. And the Bible says you can't add to, you can't take from. It's just right like it is. But there's a portion of the Word for us. And when Jesus was brought the book, when He went into the temple after being anointed, the Bible says He found the place where it says the anointing of God's upon me. Amen. There was something that pointed to Him. There was something that He made alive. And He said, this scripture is fulfilled, say. Hallelujah. Paul preaching to the Romans here, talk about a word of faith. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. It's nigh unto thee. He said, the word of faith that we preach. In other words, this is the gospel that brings that. And then I want to read on, if you'll allow me to here. Alright, verse 9 it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now there's a thing, praise God, a lot of people are afraid to say it. Amen, because they're afraid somebody's going to judge them after what they might have done somewhere in the past. Or something of that nature. No. Amen. When Christ saves you, come into your heart. Amen. He wipes the slate clean. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. It's not what happened yesterday or last week. That's why when the mighty angel cries, time is no more, that cuts you loose from all the faults and failures of the past church ages, all seven of them. Amen. And when that takes place, there's no longer two seeds growing together. Amen. You pick up there in the book of Matthew's, the 13th chapter, when Jesus went forth, the Son of Man went forth, sowed good seed. Here comes someone, sowed bad seed. Hallelujah, sowed tares, and they growed together. And the servant said, should we pull them up? He said, let them grow together until harvest. And at the harvest, the angels would do it. And bless your heart, the angels has done it. And there's the people that separate them to the name of the Lord, His wife. Hallelujah. And all the things that has happened through the church ages, all the mistakes, all the failures, amen, even in Pentecost and all rest, you're not shackled with those failures. Can you say amen? Amen. I'll tell you what, up close and personal. This is what Christ is. Paul brought a message, and the mighty angel brought the book back, the prophetic part, the second hand to the Word. It puts a people up close and personal with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And it brings that righteousness out. And once they believe unto righteousness, that's what he says here, we believe unto righteousness. Amen. Then, when we believe in the right, that is being clothed with fine linen, clean and white, because the Bible says clearly that is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. That's a gift to give. Now, I'm going to continue reading here a little more. Amen. Verse 11. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth upon Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, and the same, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. Call upon Him. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That still has to do with salvation, not the nation of Israel. Amen. Individual salvation. Verse 14. How then shall... Here's what I want you to notice here. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? Now watch. And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What Paul's saying, there's got to be a message. Amen. A line went out through all the earth. And that line, L-I-N-E, he said. Amen. It's prophesied that the line of truth has gone out into all the earth. Amen. And when the people hear it, they believe upon it. Amen. Amen. We got a letter this week from Brother Enoch over in Africa. And he brought in something after last week's message that we... I'd said on some of the messages and told you about the time in the chicken house where I met the one, and he looked just like me, and we embraced each other, and he said, this shall be your last bunch of chicken. And also one time here in church where I met my theophany. Well, the prophet of God says, when you come in contact with a word for your hour, you've met your theophany. Hallelujah. See, that's what you're meeting your theophany, your spiritual body. You and Christ become the same right now. Amen. You've got a spiritual body waiting. Hallelujah. When He raised the dead, they're going to receive it. But all you got to do is step out of this old body right into it. Glory to God. The old shall be young. The weak shall be strong. Hallelujah. And your youth shall be renewed like the eagle. Praise God. Amen. When you meet this word for this hour, this message, Paul said, now how are they going to believe? How are they going to believe such a thing? Amen. They can't believe it without a preacher. And he said, how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. God has some sent one today. And when you meet that word that's being sent to you, you have met your theophany. Hallelujah. Because you've met a righteousness the world has never seen. You've met a freedom the world has never seen. You've met a joy the world has never seen. Hallelujah. And it's up to you not to get entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Amen. Then you've got to make certain decisions to keep from getting in bondage. Amen. That means you have to, some things that's going to rob you from your time, things that's going to rob you from your joy, and I'm not talking here, I want to be careful here to talk. I'm not talking about someone working or something like that and got things to do. We all got things to do like that. But we have to be careful to unnecessary things that would pull our mind. You know what's hindering you, don't you? Amen. Something hindering you. You know somewhere or another I've got to make a decision. This decision, it may be a hard decision, may be hurtful, but it's hindering my joy, my peace, my love. Amen. It's hindering that revelation coming like it ought to. It's hindering my intimacy. I can't say that word here. Intimacy. Thank you. Hindering that intimacy. And a lot of times a minister told me this just recently. Not been too many. He says he had some trouble in his church. Different thing he was talking about. He said it even hindered my, it just bothered me, hindered my intimacy with my wife and my family life. It's got even my family life all messed up with all these problems. Well, hallelujah. So that's where God says, amen, we got to keep our priorities right. Amen, I've had problems. I've had all these things. Amen, but I keep my eye. The song says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen, that's what Paul's telling them here. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he left, he said, my peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. And you, by faith, take that peace. And that peace is part of that wedding garment, that righteousness. That joy is part of that wedding garment and that righteousness. Hallelujah. And it's up to you to wear it with pride. Amen. You know, some people, I'm going to say this, some people, if what they are expressing is being the wife of Christ, being intimate with Christ, amen, and presenting Christ, then it scares me. Because most of the time, and I'm not talking about everybody here, but I wouldn't even say this, but sometimes you have to say it, because there's two voices. There's a voice saying, sell out to Jesus. Let Christ be your all in all. But then just as it was in the Garden of Eden and from the Garden, there's another voice. There's other things. Hallelujah. There's where you've got to walk right down the middle of the road and say, hallelujah. Gee, I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. Therefore, I'm to glorify God with my body and with my spirit, which is belong to God. Amen. Is that right? Amen. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. But if someone gives you something wonderful and great, amen, respect that thing. Christ has made you His wife. He wants intimacy. Well, say it word. Intimacy. All right. He wants to be up close and personal with you, and He don't want 40 other things between Him and you. Amen. Now, we all got families and we all got difficulties and all these things, and a lot of things could hinder you, but sometimes those things come as a trial. Amen. To see if you're going to keep your eyes on Jesus, put Him first, and all these other things that would sidetrack you, pull you aside, get your mind off the Lord, and get you all tore up and disturbed. Amen. It's up to you. If Christ is in you and you're up close personal with Him, amen, don't offend Him. Amen. Is that right? Don't offend Him by putting everything else and letting everything. Lord, I love you, and I know that. And there's no question, Lord, I love you. But you know, these things, Lord, you see, I got a lot that piling up on me. Well, how come they piled up on you? Amen. Did you have anything to do with it, say? And are you making corrective measures to get out from under that so that you can shine in this last day and glorify God and be all that a bride can be for a husband she loves with all of her heart? There's a rapture taking place, and we got to put some emphasis on that. We got to get to the place where that's important to us. A lot of people talk about being Christian. Well, a lot of times that's just a name they use. Hallelujah. And it don't reflect what early Christianity was. I got a little tract once and I read it. It said if you were put on trial for being a Christian, could they convict you? In other words, if they took you say I'm a Christian, they took the Bible and see what a Christian was, could they convict you for being one? Amen. Putting God first, doing everything. Amen. And letting that be your very own life. The Bible teaches we're dead and our life is hid with Christ. Christ again. Hid with Christ in God. Amen. That when Christ comes, amen, do you know Christ? Somebody say, I know God. Well, the whole world knows there's a God. Amen. They said they shot that thing into the moon the other week. That rocket. Said they got 25 gallons of water. Well, I'm wondering how they got down and measured it out because they didn't go down. They just got some dust flying up. Well, you know, I don't... it's very doubtful that they got 25 gallons of water out of that dust. Amen. But that's all right. Let them go ahead and have their little... thing, because that's probably about all they're going to get. Amen. Is that right? It might be water up there. All that water fell to the earth from up in the outer deepness, you know. In the days of Noah, the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the water began to fall to the earth by the tons, and this whole earth was covered in water. Amen. Before that, it was a beautiful Garden of Eden. And especially there in the around Jerusalem there, and God was told Adam and Eve multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Amen. As you need it more than big ice caps and all that. Amen. They would have melted as a need was. We got one Al Gore going around saying you're gonna get the earth too hot and it's gonna melt this and melt that. Amen. But I think it's been colder in the last 2 years than it has been. Amen. Well, God's gonna straighten it up. He's gonna melt that ice. And by the time the millennia's over, when God Himself comes to this earth, amen, set His earthly kingdom up here in that sense. Amen. He come to be a tabernacle. There's no tabernacle in because the Lord God's tabernacle. Amen. By that time, all that water went back to where it was at. Because the Bible says, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. And said, there was no sea. Amen. Amen. There was no seas like that before the flood. It dropped to the earth. This earth tilted back. Amen. And one of these days, it straightened up and so forth. And it'll 30 days each month, 360 days in a year, it'll hit just exactly. But since we're out of care a little bit, we have to add a fourth of a day every year. And every 4 years, we got a leap year. Amen. To catch this thing back up with a time cycle. Amen. But that's all right. It's going to straighten back up. Amen. And they can figure these things out many, many years ahead and just a word from it leaning back. What will it be when it's straightened up? Hallelujah. That's when those lines, they'll lose them big old tooth. What do they call them things? Canines, yeah. And the Bible says they'll eat straw like a bullet. Amen. And nothing shall hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, he said. Amen. The lion, you can have a lion in your living room. Amen. Well, that's out there, but we're here now, ain't we? Amen. I tell you, this word getting me excited, and yeah, I tell you, it's the most exciting thing ever came my way. And it makes everything else in life exciting, even in difficulties. Amen. I was way out in the jungle there on a little old road over there. That was in the Philippines. And the little trail we got there, and we got they put up and made a little bridge there to get on through a creek there. And the vehicle, my driver left it out of gear, parked on the other side. He left it out of gear, rolled back, and it got off the bridge there, and the wheels off of it, you know. Everybody was so tore up. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, you know? And I said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy this because it will be exciting and educational to see how we get this thing back on. And I say, hey, this can be enjoyable. Hey, man, it wasn't too long we got back home and going home. And someone said, well, I learned a new way to look at things. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, getting on with the word here. I've got to hurry here. Now I've done talked a lot. It says, how can they believe if they hadn't heard this? That's why I'm preaching it. Hallelujah. We got a letter yesterday on the email, I guess. It says, we noticed the last four sermons. Said, you've been bringing this in a lot. Said, there's a reason for it. And says, it must be something that God wants to do or wants us to see because it seemed to be very timely. Well, that's what he said here. How are they going to know unless someone... How are they going to believe it unless there's a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? So the thing we need to find out, what's being preached and if they're sent. Amen. And I'm not talking about someone that Papa calling Mama sent. Amen. I'm talking about someone that had a calling from the foundation of the world. Amen. The letter that we got that I was telling you about, one says, if a little baby in the manger could shake up the whole world in his day, said a little baby in a shoebox, is shaking up the whole world this hour. Amen. That was when I was born. They kept me in the shoebox. That weighed about 2.5 pounds, something like that. So the little baby in this day, the little baby that fit in the shoebox shaking the whole world up. There's a message and it's going. It can't be stopped. It has taken wings of the morning. Now, don't ask me to explain what wings of the morning is. We'll have to ask David when we get to heaven. Because he's the one said it in the gospel. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the othermost parts of the world. Amen. But I thank God it's morning wherever God's at. Hallelujah. There's never a dark moment. Amen. God has fixed this earth and the sun where it moves. If you travel with the sun, and I'm talking, won't you be spiritual, the Son of God, you'll never see a moment of darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. You can travel around and probably for months and never see a night. Or you can travel and see several nights if you're all kilter with it. I believe it's John Glenn went up to the first little satellite thing, Sputnik. No, that was Russia with a Sputnik, wasn't it? But he said the strangest thing, said in a matter of a few hours, said we had many days and nights. What he was doing, getting faster, going around the earth, you know, it'd be daylight, sunshine, hour and a half later, even it'd be at midnight. Hour and a half later, it'd be at midday. Because it out of kilter with the turning, the cycle. Hallelujah. But thank God we're in the right cycle with the Word of God. Amen. What we can do as Jesus says, walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all ungodliness. Amen. Amen. All right. How shall they hear without a preaching? Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'll tell you, this message will bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. I wish Brother Cleveland walked out here on the porch when he was here with us one Sunday. He said, I wish I could holler so the whole world could hear my voice and say, my God is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. But the strange thing is a lot of people get shackled with things that the glad tiding is like, it's like having on an armor of some type, a steel armor, and it won't penetrate. You can't get up close and personal. Hallelujah. Let nothing between my soul and my Savior. That is blessed. His face may be seen in one there in the Old Testament, one place there. It talks about being close together. It says that no daylight will come between. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how we are with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're serving Him, if you're His wife, if you're His bride, amen, you have made a commitment to Him. And not only have you made a commitment to Him, but He in turn has made a commitment to you that He'll lead you and guide you in all truth, that He'll give you peace and joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. And that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, not even to the end of the world. And that all things work together for good to them that love God, those that are called according to His purpose. And He said, neither life nor death nor power nor principalities or anything present nor anything to come can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm on that trail. I'm on that road. Praise God. Amen. I love Him, don't you? Praise God. And I'm not here to tell you that if you'll do this way or if you'll do that way and do it, certain things that you'll be more righteous. No, if you let Jesus live His life through you, that answers all things. Can you say amen? All right. Yes, thank you, son. Amen. Got my little amen fellas here this morning. All right. Okay. It says here, next verse, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as I said, Lord, who has believed our report? Now see, there's the believing come in. It's very important. This is all based upon belief. Amen. And someone said something to me just recently. They said, oh, I wish I could know what's going to happen 6 months down the road. Or I wish I could know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. Well, I tell you, if you sell faith out for that kind of knowledge, you're the loser of it. Amen. I don't want to trade my faith for knowledge of what's going to happen next week, because I know this, my hand's in the nail-scarred hand. If there is a next week, God will be right there in the middle of next week. And I'm not going to trade faith for knowledge. Amen. God fixed it right to begin with. How many knows it? And if there is incidents that God wants you to know, He's able to give you a vision or a dream or something, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. We believe what the Word says and we step out on that. Amen. And the evidence is the Word. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, have you got any evidence? That's right. Yeah, the Word. Amen. Whatever better evidence you have. Amen. So, would I trade right now the faith in God? Or would I like to know everything that's going to happen for the next 6 months? No, and if you know, don't tell me. Amen. Because I wouldn't trade my faith for your knowledge. Because your knowledge is going to hinder you from having faith. Amen. But if there is a tomorrow, amen, my faith will be strong that my Jesus will keep me. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. And He said He would give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And I'm not going to trade that for knowledge. Amen. Amen. So if you know what's going to happen, don't tell me. Amen. Glory to God. God gave us just in the Word what He wants us to know. Amen. He tells us to watch for certain signs and we see them. We know where we're at. Amen. If you see a ministry today, that pattern is exactly like that ministry that came forth as Paul went forth and preached the gospel, then you know where you're at. Amen, because that ministry in days of Paul got a church engaged. This ministry in this hour getting the bride married to Christ and put you up close and personal, and Christ will mean more to you than anything in the world. And from henceforth, and I'm closing here, he that is joined to the Lord has become one spirit. In other words, our spirit and his, and it's blended together, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, word of his word, and mind. Oh, I won't have time to get on that anymore here, but he gives us his mind too. He and us got the same mind. You might say, well, how do I know I'm in the will of God? Well, have you been in tune with the mind of Christ lately? How do I do it? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they believe without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Hallelujah. All right. We could take that and go on a little further, but I think that's good. Amen. All right. Dear Evan now, have you enjoyed service today? I tell you, I feel like I need to put a cement block, tie a cement block to my leg to hold me down here for a while. Amen. Because I'll tell you, I'm up close and personal with Christ. And so are you. He sent a message to get us up close and personal, to put us into the tent with him. Amen. Where we become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. And where Christ would mean more to us than somebody sitting up there somewhere on the throne. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, God, for this gathering together today. Lord, it's been good. Amen, because you've come and you've honored your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll take this word, use it for your glory. And we bless your name, we praise your name, we love you. And thank you for being with us in such a glorious and tremendous way. In Jesus' name.